I don't care if we come up with themes and have gadgets and all this other kind of stuff. We want to make this central. So I apologize for not communicating that maybe more broadly so that you could also make that more central. But nonetheless, that's the rationale for why we switched it up for today. And we would encourage you. I know there's extenuating circumstances sometimes, but I encourage you guys to come to church on time. It's just, you know, we meet once a week for the most part, and we're going to roll out some things today that will hopefully give you incentive to be here even earlier than you normally come. But we've talked a lot about this, and I've been doing a lot of thinking. We go through a lot of effort to build a community center into a church for a minute. And I get that it, you know, goes quickly in that sense. Like, we come together. It's like, you know, I think of the old sacrifices, right? I mean, the fire is kind of gone in just a matter of a couple of minutes, probably. I don't know how all day. Did they do it all day? At the, you know, what's that? Oh, they're just going all day. Okay. Yeah. So we only have like a little time to have our time for the Lord and for, you know, our quote unquote sacrifice, which usually means getting out of bed or, you know, for us getting kids out of bed and to here. And so one of the things that we're committed to this year is we're getting them here earlier, and we're going to make sure that we're not like straggling along and running in. And so I just encourage you guys that could be just that simple place to start. It's just come on in and be a part of the fellowship, be a part of building the church, be a part of putting it together. Put your stake in the ground, so to speak, as we build this year. I've been having some conversations with a few people, Miranda in particular, and we've been going back and forth talking about the term adulting. Adulting. What does that word adulting mean?
Responsibility.
Responsibility. What else? Who said it? Did you say it, Mariah? Mariah, responsibility. Adulting. What does adulting mean? How many of you guys have heard of adulting? How many of you guys know that was the word for what, 2013? Yeah. The word for 2000, kind of read, it morphed into, it used to mean one thing, and then it sort of morphed into another thing. And now, what's the connotation of adulting? When you think of the word adulting, what connotation? Responsibility, negative. Responsibility, is responsibility negative? Okay, if you have to grow up, yes ma'am. Mm. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Well, it sounds sort of like a childish term for grown-up responsibility. So it's like, I think of it as like, I feel like a kid, but I have all these adult responsibilities.
Okay, good. So you don't feel like an adult. Guess what? I'm 47, and that doesn't go away, that feeling, right? Does it? I've shared this before, but I remember Diana was saying something about, you know, like what I wanted something to be situated. And I'm like, I don't know, I'm kind of making it up as we go. And she goes, yeah, so where do you want it? You know, like there's that, you know, you don't think of it, but they're like waiting for me to make it up, you know. And it's kind of a, oh yeah, I guess I'm the adult in the room, right? But we are all adults in different ways and we don't realize it. And we think that we are, you know, I remember Adam one time, he used to say, he was quoting his grandma, and his grandma was looking in the mirror and she says to him, how did I get so many wrinkles? You know, like his grandma. So, like, she just passed away, I think, 98 years old or whatever. And this was about a 10-year-old quote. So she was in her 80s or something. So anyway, we don't really feel like adults sometimes. And then sometimes we feel more adult than we'd like. But the thing that I noticed, and as I'm kind of going through this and a little bit back and forth with Miranda, is there's a lot of freedom in being an adult. Do you guys know that? You get to decide your own bedtime.
Yeah.
Right? You do. You get to decide. Now, you might decide it based on what you have to do in the morning, so maybe you feel like it's not really your decision. But if you talk to kids, if you talk to little ones, they want to be what? Grown up. So they don't get to be told what to do. Quinn and I met this friend over at Boomer's, and he was very upset about being six because he wanted to make all his own decisions and make all, you know, have the thing to do. And he got stuck on this weird thing because what, you know, what would you do with your decisions? I'd go buy a chicken. He apparently wanted chicken for dinner that night. That's what we're guessing. And he wasn't allowed to have it. So, you know, you get to choose your own meals maybe. There's freedom in being an adult. There's freedom in this growing up thing that we talk about. And there's also a rightness to it. Our society, for whatever reason, is apprehensive about responsibility. We are apprehensive about, and I think of adulting, the word is sort of a distancing ourselves from that actual becoming an adult. Does that make sense? There's another book that, I forget the name of the book, but I sent it over to you. Do you remember the name? Did you see your email yet? You haven't seen it. I've been emailing you too. You just haven't, it's been a one-way conversation. Some of this stuff applies to your stuff, and I've been asking you questions and answered you, but you just didn't really actually talk to me. I had to fill in the blanks somehow, okay, because whatever. But the point is, one of the questions I sent out, okay, so there's this whole conversation on millennials, right? So millennials sort of take the brunt of this right now, because why? Millennials are the next generation coming up. And there's a lot of conversations that go about millennials this and millennials that, and I hear the conversation and I go, well, back when I was growing up, we used to be heard about, well, we're the 7-Eleven generation. We want the instant gratification from 7-Eleven or the microwave generation or whatever. Just fill in the blank. And I think there are some challenges to today, and there's a technology aspect that people have access to that kind of perpetuates or maybe exasperates what I would consider my own difficulty with delayed gratification. But this thing is as old as time, isn't it? It goes all the way back to Esau. Or further, if you want to, you know, look at the Garden of Eden, they didn't want to let God tell them what to do. They wanted to be their own boss, their own sort of have it all figured out their own way. Well, in any case, what I'm getting at here is we're all dealing with this struggle somehow on what it is to be an adult and what it is to mature and how to grow up. And this guy was talking about how the generation coming up will probably change careers three different times. Not jobs in the same kind of vein, but actual careers three different times. Again, we used to always change our major three different times or 20 or whatever it was. Some of us are still working on our major. So, but the, nevertheless, there's this idea that, there's a lot more mobility in today's culture, in today's world. And one of the things he was talking about, this is the conversation that I was actually picking up because we talked a little bit about this, but people want meaning in their jobs. And they go because they need to have some sort of purpose. There's a grounding to that. It's no longer about loyalty to the company, loyalty to, you know, said organization and stuff, but there's some sort of meaning that has to be in there. And my question is I wonder if that meaning isn't kind of like a product of not being in conversation with the creator of the universe, right? There's something about finding our purpose in prayer, listening to God speak to us and letting him transform us. And then somehow from there we derive what our purpose is. Does that make sense? I don't think it's a generational problem. I think it's throughout generations that we have this difficulty, that we don't know how to sit still. I'm probably as guilty, if not more so, than anybody in this room as I look around. What's that?
Because we're sitting still.
Because you're sitting still, yeah, and I'm the one moving around, nervous about talking to you authoritatively as an adult. Well, a lot of you guys know that we're working on a theme for this year. Some of the leadership has kind of been gathering. We've been meeting on Monday nights. We went away to a little bit of a retreat. And we hammered out some ideas of what this would be like. And it was really neat to be in this room of people and having all of these folks have input. And it all sort of started to center around this one passage of Scripture. And it's about growing up and being mature. I'm going to read the bigger passage for you guys. If you want, you can read along with me. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling that you have been called. Now, just to pause there for a second. This is the Apostle Paul. and he's writing to the Ephesians, and it's possible he is on his last, like he's writing the last instructions before he gets killed. He gets executed by the Romans. It's possible that he's, you know, one, like, these are my parting words to you to make sure that you get it straight, that you figure it out. This is the Apostle Paul, who, if you talk to a lot of people, they'll tell you he's one of the most arrogant blankety-blanks in the history of time, because his literature has upheld, and he speaks with such authority and such compunction, and he calls people to repentance in ways that are very uncomfortable at times. This is the teacher, the one who was a Pharisee and someone who could teach any, you know, so many varieties of different people. But in here, in this moment, he says what? I beg you. I beg you to live a life worthy of the calling which you have been called. He's pleading with us. The great teacher is pleading with us to grow up, to live our life, to not take what you have, the gifts that you have, for granted. I remember when I was younger, they'd talk about the therefore. Find out what the therefore is there for. Okay, right? Well, the problem with Paul is he says that a lot, so we'd have to go really way back, really far back. How's that for sentence construction? But we're going to go back just a little bit to verse 14 of chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. As you are being rooted and grounded in love, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You want to know where your purpose is? What your purpose for life is? That's the place to begin, right there. That's the grounding spot. That you may be rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, height, depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all fullness of God. We're going to really push this through this year. We're going to stand on this. We're going to make it a battle cry, that we will be so deeply communed and connected with our Lord and Savior that purpose is, it's almost like an afterthought. We just act. It just sort of comes from us. He begs us. We're going to skip back down. To live a life worthy to be called to which we were called, with all humility and gentleness, and with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. Again, grounding us to what is the point of this? Where does this begin? Verse 7. Each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. And therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He took down the strongholds. He made the enemy he made captivity a captive. Think about that for a second. What was captivity? Jesus flipped around and made that the captive. And in that, he gave gifts to his people. So the background on this, just a little bit, we're not going to go into a huge amount of detail, but this is borrowed from the Psalms, and it's a victory. It's like a ticker tape parade. The king has come in. The victorious king has come in, and he's got all of the things that he, you know, conquered. You know, all of the gifts, all of the wealth, and he begins to pass them out to people. He begins to pass out all of that he is brought under his rule. Skip down to verse 11. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. He goes and he conquers. He gives these gifts out, but these gifts are not for you to just hold on to. It's yours, but it's not just for you. It's not just for you. It's not just for you. These are gifts that you have been given, and now you're expected in some way to naturally. It's not like it's a demand in some sense, although, yeah, there might be some of that. But it's just going to derive from it. People are going to benefit because of the gift that you have been given. It is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. If you want to just turn to the person next to you, and you just tell them that you are a gift so that they could be built up in the body of Christ. You are a gift so that you can be built up. I am a gift to you so that you can be built up in the body of Christ. I am a gift to you so that you can be built up in the body of Christ. Is that weird to think about? But I am a gift to you so that you can be built up in the body of Christ. And it's not a one-way relationship. Until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Until we all is our theme. Until we all. That's the thing we're going to put on the banner. That's what we're putting on the website. Until we all. Again, Paul switches it, right? The great teacher begs because there's something in him that knows that he will not be mature until we are mature. You will not be mature until she is mature. You will not be mature until she is mature. We are all in this together in some way, shape, or form. And I don't exactly know how that works, but we are not here. Yeah, I think about, again, when I was younger, they used to always talk about you can't be an isolated Christian. And there was sort of this implication, you know, because if you're out there by yourself, not coming and getting, quote unquote, fed by the word, right, that you're going to somehow fall away. And I don't think it's that way. You can't be an isolated Christian because you need to come here and be feeding one another the word. We are not here to come and feed off of each other, although there are times when we're going to pray for each other. I need your prayers. I don't have things covered. All of the things covered. I can't even communicate to everybody when communion is. Right? But nonetheless, we're going to work together and figure that out. Not just that, but a lot of other things that are really probably more important than the timely take it. But you get the point. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ, we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by the people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined together, knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped. As each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and the building up itself up in love. We're in this together in that sense. We need to be meeting with the Lord. We need to be praying. We need to find our purpose there. It's not that we find our purpose here, although somehow that kind of works, or at least we push each other toward that place to where we can pray and meet with the Lord. And one of the things that I've said often about our church here is we treat Jesus like he's an actual, real, live person. He's not some thought, some concept, some religion out there. He is somebody who I can talk to, I can sit down and have coffee with, and he will meet with me. And I promise you, he will meet with you as well. Until we all. Paul's talked about encounter. This started a little bit early in that, but one of the things that he is doing, and I'm going to ask you to correct me as needed, but he is inviting you to touch and get your hands dirty and get involved in the Holy Spirit. to practice your spiritual gifts in that kind of a setting, sort of an educational try, sort of a gymnastics sort of thing. You go to a gym and you're actually doing, exercising those muscles. And then I got news for you. If you want to be healed, or if you want to, you know, if you need to, you know, some of that stuff, you know, to be ministered to you, guess where you could go? You could go there, because it's going to happen. Because as we grow and learn, that it's not like we're practicing for life out there. It's actual life going on in that moment. Another thing that we've been doing is been working on Sunday school. A lot of you guys know, some of you may not, that we're going to be revamping our Sunday school, our kids, and how we're going to interact with that. We're in the process of that. I really encourage you to come here on the 21st, because we're going to roll that out and share with you. But mostly what we're going to do, I can say it secretly, we're going to honor Tim and Robin. And so I want you to come and be a part of that and celebrate them. They've been doing this for something like 25 years. And so they're going to be involved in that, and we want to bless them. And I encourage you to come and help me do that with this. But in the process, we were thinking about what is that going to look like, or how do we want to develop that. So what we're going to do is I'm going to invite a few different people up, and they're going to share some of the ways that they're going to exercise their gifts, okay? I bring up the Sunday school because I remember I was sitting there thinking, like, how are we, you know, like, there's some stuff that we want to do. We've relied on Robin and Tim to choose Sunday school teachers and how that works in the process, and we put a lot of faith in them, and we want to make sure that we have some, like, organization with that, you know, that we're not just shoving our kids off to somebody that we don't know very well, or, you know, we want to figure out how those protocols work a little bit. So I reached out to Ken, and while some of you guys may or may not know, how many of you guys know that Ken just sort of naturally protects people? That's just sort of his natural thing. There's been an old joke, I don't know if I came up with it or I heard it from somebody, but I don't need to be prepared for an emergency or an earthquake. I just need to know where Ken is. You see what I'm saying? So, and he's sort of turned that around on me, and he's taught me how to be prepared better. We're going to invite him up, if you want to come up. And he's going to start a ministry that deals with being prepared. And he'll let you share a little bit about it. And if I think you didn't say enough, I'll say some more. Get my stuff out of your way.
I brought notes, but I doubt I'll ever use them. Is this on? Hello, can you hear me? Everybody? All right. So, as Brad said, communication is sometimes not as clear. So I wasn't sure I was going to say how much I was going to say when I was going to come up here, so I'm just going to kind of wing it to some degree. We have started already in the men's ministry, kind of laying some groundwork, talking with a few of the guys, some of the families, to be prepared if something happens. You know, it's the, okay, well, if this happens, or if there's an earthquake, or, you know, aliens come out of nowhere, you know, it's kind of like, well, at least have some sort of plan. You know, have some water, have some food, laser beams, whatever. So that's already kind of been started to some degree within the men's ministry, but early November, after the Sutherland Springs shooting happened down in Texas. It was like, I don't know, a couple days later or something like that, Brad ended up texting myself and Tom saying, hey, I think that it would probably be a good idea for our church to have something, you know, so that we're a little bit more prepared for stuff like that. Well, that kind of got the ball rolling. As soon as he texted, I think I pretty much kind of, you know, body blocked Tom and just said, okay, yeah, and then I jumped on it. The next day, Brad and I had a meeting. I had two pages of notes, and I'd already read a book, and I mean, just I was all about it. So, needless to say, it's something I'm into. That might seem weird. You might be thinking, okay, dude, back off. But regardless, it's just kind of how I think. It's how I view the world, and it's almost like a hobby in that way. It's like I see something, and I go, huh, oh, some kid could trip over that. I wonder what we could do to mitigate that child doing that, or this happening, or that happening. So, like I said, it's less a paranoia. It's not like I'm looking around going, you know, where is there danger? Oh, there's danger. You know what I mean? It's more just that I see the stuff, and I want to be able to really serve. I want to be able to serve my family within regards to our house. If you've ever been to our house or stayed in our house, you know that there's layers of defense that I have up that are just there, just, you know, if somebody bad was to come along, you know, they'd at least be lit up with a lot of security lights and have to go through an alarm system and then go through me. So, you know, just things that are set up, you know, in my own household that, like I said, I've had for a lot of years. With the church, that's basically what we're doing as well. In the same way that you guys got here in a car, and no doubt you put your seatbelt on to keep yourself safe. I think Amber would agree that seatbelts are a good thing, very good thing. And we go through intersections, and we're not going to go through an intersection that doesn't have a light that's working. You know, you're going to stop, and then you're going to like look like this way and that way before you go across if for some reason that light is out. Those things are set in place by the city to protect us, to keep us safe. We don't think about them because they're just there. And in the same way, we're going to be setting up stuff here behind the scenes that are just going to keep us a little bit safer, just to have some protocols, have some guys trained, have some guys walking around, just to kind of keep an eye on things. Quickly, after doing a little bit of research and talking with some people, it was very obvious to me that the number one concern amongst you guys is really with the kids. You know, they're the most vulnerable. You know, if there was a fire and I saw Winnie here and I saw Brad over there, I wouldn't like, go, Brad, let's get you out of here. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm assuming Brad's an adult and he can take care of himself to some degree. But for Winnie, you know, she's pretty much stuck. You know, she needs somebody to take care of her. And then it just kind of, it's a sliding scale. But there'll be things in line for the kids, for, you know, checking them in the morning, having emergency preparedness stuff for them, you know, first aid, whatever. Just a whole bunch of, like, behind-the-scenes stuff that most of you are like, whatever, dude. You know what I mean? It's not going to be an exciting, you know, like, oh, look, there's a piece of paper that says if what this happens, this is what we're going to do. But that's just some of the stuff that this group is going to put together. And it's going to take a while, because as I started getting into reading the books and doing the research online, I quickly realized that there's a whole lot more involved in this. It's kind of like when you rehab a bathroom, you know. Right now, Tom's in the middle of doing a remodel for Scott Glab, and you get in there, and you start kind of ripping stuff out, and you start to realize, oh, my gosh, this thing is rotten, and this electrical doesn't work, and this is on the wrong side. And it's once you get into it, you start to understand the scope of what it is that you're tackling. And that's kind of the same thing with this. It's like you start kind of scratching the surface just thinking, oh, my gosh, we don't want some guy to come in here and plant a bomb. But then you really realize that, okay, that statistically that's not probably going to happen. I mean, yeah, if some guy walks in and he looks like somebody out of a show and he pops a bomb down and runs out, you know, yeah, we're going to take care of it. But really most of what we're looking at is just the practical stuff. I mean, we live in an earthquake zone, you know what I mean? It's like we're down low near the river. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that can happen. So it's just like, okay, let's just figure out what we would do. Even if the building was destroyed, where would we meet the next Sunday? You know, if you think about it and you just kind of plan for it, then those things don't have to be quite as catastrophic. You know, and a lot of it's going to be around the kids, protecting the kids, making sure that they're looked after, watched over, signed in, signed out. All the stuff is there, and then a million other things that you guys really don't want to know. But we're doing that, and that's kind of pretty much what we're looking at. The prayer theme and verse for January. I'm going to put my eyes. Is basically stand firm with the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And essentially, that's what we're doing. We're just, you know, this always speaks to the spiritual, you know, which of course is important, but there's a lot of practical stuff that you do that aren't spiritual. You get up, you put clothes on, you brush your teeth, you know, you go through your life. They're just practical stuff. What we're doing is just practical stuff. So these will be rolled out. Some of it's already happening, you know, walking around, checking on things during the Sunday service. Some of it's going to be slower as far as like with the children's ministry, kind of revamping how the children are checked in and out. That'll be happening over the next several months. But a lot of this stuff is just going to take a lot of time and training. So it's going to be 2018 before this whole thing, I feel, is going to be kind of up and running. But just know that you're seeing guys walk around, or if you see extra stuff when you're dropping off your kids, you know, that's all part of what we're looking to do. And obviously, there's only one of me. There's only a couple of guys that I can see right now that will be able to jump into this. There's lots of eyes I see here, lots of people. So if you're walking around and you're seeing something, you're like, God, that just always bugged me that spike was sitting right there. You know what I mean? Well, you know, maybe you're the only one that saw that for whatever reason. You know, bring it to our attention. Talk with Danny. Talk with Pastor Brad. Bring it to me. You know, let us know, because I'm only going to be able to see so much. But you guys are really all part of this. We need to be able to protect our kids. We need to be able to watch over our flock. And as we saw in Texas, bad things do happen. You know, we can't just go, oh, Jesus is going to take care of us because it's all good. Well, it just doesn't bear out. You know, Jesus and God uses us. He uses the little that we bring, like the feeding of the 5,000. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to snap my fingers and everyone's going to get this wonderful meal. It's, what do you got? A couple of loaves and fish. Cool. And then God does a miracle. It's the same thing. God uses what little we bring. Seriously, none of us bring much. I'm sorry. I don't care how cool you are. You're not bringing much to the table, really. You know, you bring the little that you have, and then you expect that the Lord does a miracle. And that's what we're hoping for with all of these ministries. And I expect to see really good things in 2018. I really feel like 2018 is going to be an amazing year. It's going to be a year of transition. It's going to be a year of growth. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. And as Brad was saying, just you got to be a part of this. It's not coming just to okay, I'm here. I punched the clock. It's for you guys to be involved, especially not to focus on the college and career. But you guys are it. You guys are coming up, and you're going to be taking this thing over when we're getting too old. Or, you know, it's like you guys. You know, if you don't take it over, then it's not going to happen. You know, so, and there's a lot of that going on. Trust me. So. That's pretty much all I had to say, but bless you guys, and thank you for listening.
So, yeah, so one of the cool things is Allie and I were talking about this, and she goes, yeah, it feels like we're going to be like a grown-up church. You know, and some of it's true. We want to have the infrastructure. If we want to grow, if we want to provide a place for people, we're going to have some infrastructure and some ways to be able to do that. And so that's part of what this is about. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate another thing, if I could just say about Ken, is like that day that we came over here, like, you know, I texted him, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, we were walking the property, you know, with his like 5 pages of notes. He said 2, but I think there was more. But the point is it was neat to walk around. And how great is it to have someone like Ken or others of you that do this? I know Chris and Mike do this before anybody gets here. They walk the property and pray over who's going to be here. And they see somebody or see something and they pray, or maybe there's a scuffle or an argument and they can pray into that argument. Just people randomly, they want to have a fight here at the park. Well, guess what? They're going to get prayed for, right? But to have someone like these guys walk around during service, and I remember Sue sharing, she's like, was really frustrated with the kiddos one time. And maybe just so she can flag somebody down because she needs a little bit of help. Or maybe she doesn't need help at all, but just having that extra little prayer as she goes around. You know what I mean? What a great thing that they're going to be able to do. And then the other thing I thought is, if I was a 20-something kid getting out of the Marine Corps, which is, you know, when I showed up at this church, that was me, to have someone like Ken be able to, you know, minister and disciple me and help me become a godly person with that sense of service and duty and... So I really appreciate what that's about. And we'll see how that develops. The other part of maturing and stuff is getting out of our comfort zone, getting out of our normal environment, getting out of what we normally do and see. And I'm assuming you're going to speak, yeah? So Tabitha and Amber, it'd be really great to have you guys just full on share. And I think we're going to have an opportunity for that. So you're going to get to come and hear that, like all kinds of stuff. But we're going to go to Australia as a church. And they just got back from Australia, and I'll let them talk about what this looks like and when we can hear more. And I'll share more as needed.
Amber and I got back from Australia on the 18th. We were there for 10 days. And we, 2 Sundays from now on the 28th, want to sort of share more in depth with you all of how that went down. And it was beautiful. I'll start by saying that the Lord had an incredible plan laid out for us. Like, everything was provided for in ways that we did not foresee or could have planned or set up for ourselves. Like, timing on things was perfect. The conversations that we had with people were ordained by him. The interactions that we had with other believers and with non-believers and the people that we were put into contact with was just, fully ordained by the Lord. And so that was beautiful, and I'm really excited for what the summer will hold. And there's just excitement and stirring in the church in Australia to have us there. And something I think that was really beautiful that we've both enjoyed seeing is how generational this is, and how while we were there, we got a call from Wendy, and there was a couple in Kauai at that time who had been at the church where Adam was preaching, recognized Adam, and went up to Wendy afterwards to tell her that Adam had preached in their scripture class 20 years ago. And they became Christians, and they now teach scripture classes in Sydney, Australia. And they want us to come and speak in their class to their students. And it was just like, how how does that happen? That's so beautiful. And we were at the school that Amber was at 2 years ago with Wendy and Megan. And yes. Yes, okay. And there was a student that like randomly walked through. It was over break, so no students should have been there. She recognized Amber and like told her how good it was that they had come and wants us back there too. And so many things, like the hearts are just welcome and excited to have us. And there are beautiful ways that the Lord just used plain conversation to minister to the lives of the people that we were put in contact with. So, yeah, we're really excited to sort of lay out the vision and talk with you guys on the 28th. We are going to meet at 6 o'clock at the warehouse. And so this is for anyone and everyone who is interested in any way. If the Lord puts it on your heart to go, like, please be praying about that. If he doesn't, if this means, like, you're not getting on the plane, it's still a church mission trip. While we were there, we were the two people who'd gotten on the plane, but we did not feel alone. It felt like we were part of a really large team. We felt your prayers. We knew that we were supported. We knew that it wasn't just us going out alone. And then Greg and Catherine DeBose over there took such good care of us. And Martha Parkinson, who went to this church 20 years ago, and her son, like, they took such good care of us, too. It was really beautiful. It was such a church thing. And so, please come if you're interested in any way or want to know how to pray or want, like, we're just excited to see how individuals will bring their giftings and their skills and talents and callings into this team, because it's going to be eclectic, and it's going to be designed by the Lord, and it's going to come around whatever his vision is, and we're excited for that. And so sort of what happened for me personally, and I just talked with Pastor Brad about this, was that this theme from Ephesians 4 of growing to maturity sort of happened to me unexpectedly. I was called to go on this trip in December by the Lord, and we came out of nowhere, like, kind of, I have told people a couple times, I sort of felt tricked into it by the Lord, like, he was just like, you're going, and that wasn't your plan, and that's not what you think that you want to do. But, so I'm still dealing with feelings of discomfort. This is out of my comfort zone, and I don't necessarily feel like I am mature enough to be part of the leadership team of a mission trip. I don't feel that I am ready in the sense of the word that I would like to be. I'd like to come in with, like Kevin, like, I've done all the research, I'm prepared, like, I've got, all, like, everything down the checklist, but I don't feel that way. Something beautiful that happened was that Wendy was initially talking about going with us on this trip in December, and the Lord told her not to. She didn't go. And I know that if Wendy had been there, I would have sat back and been like, yeah, Wendy's taking care of it. Like, she knows what she's doing, and I'm here just along for the ride. And because she wasn't there, that forced me into a position of stepping up and asking the Lord for guidance and how to lead and how to be a part of this. And so that's what's going to happen in the summer too. And that's when it's going to happen in the breakdown of all the logistics and planning it for the next 6 months. And so I feel excited and honored that the Lord's calling me into something that I'm not ready for, but that's because he's choosing to mature me, and he's choosing to mature us as a church and as individuals. And so, yeah, that is sort of what I have to share.
So one thing that's kind of funny is she just made a comment about how she's not, you know, like she didn't have all the research. And when we sat down and talked after they came back, how many pages of notes did you guys have detailed? Like, per, you know, like they have it all set up. So one of the things that I really encourage you to do is be in prayer for them, first of all, and be in prayer for your opportunity. Like, this is a chance for you to go and be a part of something. We're a global church. We get to make an impact halfway around the world, and that's pretty awesome. But we also make impact locally. And I want to invite Kimberly up, and Kimberly and Tim up, and one of the cool things about their vision that I'll just tee up as they're coming up here is they're doing double digits. A lot of you guys know this. They're doing Bible studies for ages 10 to 14, 15. And one of the things they want to make sure happens is they want to do it at their house. We're thinking, oh, well, house, how is that going to work, so forth and so on. They're like, no, no, we want to be a church in the community. I'm using my vernacular. They didn't use those exact words. But we want to establish a presence in the community. And so they're making an impact at their house, at their doorstep. And I just, among other things, just dig that. So go for it. Oh, here, you need this.
All right. Well, I'm Tim. Does anybody not know me? All right. I'm Tim.
I'm Kim.
Yeah, it always feels weird introducing yourself to a room of people you know. Anyways, so over the past year or so, we've been doing double digits events and every so often, once a month, and we kind of took a little hiatus during our wedding season, and now we are starting up again. And it's going to look a little differently this year. We're going to actually do more of a Bible study type of thing and less big event type stuff. So this Wednesday is my parents' wedding anniversary, but that's not important. Sorry, I was like thinking that when I was looking at the calendar. Oh, look up. But it is the first double digits Bible study of 2018. So it's at our house in downtown Santa Ana. Yes. So yeah, if you go over to the table with all the announcements over there, you're gonna see a little. There's like a friendly monster over there. Just look for the friendly monster and you'll find our stuff. Anyways, there's like a contact sheet, and we ask the parents to fill that out for your child if they're even thinking about coming. I do ask that you do not take those home, that if you're going to fill it out here and give it to us directly, just because I know what would happen if I did that. Yeah. Anyways, I don't see any double digits in the room right now. Oh, Abby. What's up? Represent. All right.
Did I miss anything?
Double digits, for us, it's going to be from 10 to 15 years old. So double digits just meaning you got both numbers, right? Your age. Yeah, other than that, so we are going to be meeting every other Wednesday. So this month, it's going to be the 10th and the 24th. I will be putting that on our little, like, bulletin, so to speak, so parents and double digits can have a regular reminder. These sheets are super helpful just because we want to make sure that we have updated parent and student information so that when we are texting or emailing, everyone's getting the right information. And then outside of that, on Wednesdays, we're going to start meeting from 6:30 to 8. So this first month is really just trying to figure out, is this a good time for people? We are aware that we're in Santa Ana in an area there where there's a lot of traffic if you're coming from Costa Mesa, Newport, or Huntington. So we are open to kind of revising and making sure, hey, if in February we need to figure out a better time that works for everyone, we'll go ahead and do that. Beyond that, that's pretty much it. We're super excited. If there are any parents in the room that don't know us as well or don't even know us at all, we're super open to having coffee or chatting on the phone, whatever works best, but getting to know you so you feel comfortable having your kids hang out with us and talk about the Lord. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
So another thing that's related to that is we're going to be driving, we're going to be on the road, and that's a great place where ministry gets to take, you know, gets to happen. They're going to be opening their home and doing the preparation, so we're going to be driving. So if you feel like you want to kind of be involved in a more peripheral way, you think you're being peripheral if you're driving, but you're actually like in one of the best possible opportunities you could be in. So if you want to be somehow in related, let us know, and we'll get you involved somehow. Cool. Here we go. Check. Okay. So, Allie.
Okay. Yeah. It's just a weird, like, you. you're not weird. I am here to talk about what we're doing as a group of women this year in our church. And a couple of things that Brad mentioned in a couple of our conversations is, yeah, it feels like this year our focus is to become a grown-up church. We've been wandering, you know, and even though our location has been, you know, it's just sort of who our identity has been is one of those of kind of pop-up church, you know, we change location every few years. We feel really called to being established in ways that we've never really thought of. Not because it is bad that we didn't think of it. It was just not part of, you know, we just did what was in front of us. And now we're like looking at, especially for Brad and I, like you guys are, gosh. One of the things that Brad had mentioned is as he was walking around, he didn't mention to you guys, but walking around with Ken is like knowing that we have something to protect. And that for Brad and I, that's huge for us. This is new. You know, it's crazy that it's been almost a year, but we love you and we love this church and it's important to us that we're around. For our kids, that thank you, Kim and Tim, for stepping up and stepping into that, for our kids to grow into something that they can call their own. And then bring their friends. You know, it's like, it starts somewhere. We've been kind of making do for a little bit. And now we're going to do this, you know? We are people here that can make this happen and be an establishment for the future. And anyway, so we're focusing on that. And what that means is we're going to have a lot of opposition. Okay, that is just the truth. You take steps to be, you call yourself out to be mature, you're going to be met with resistance. And I'm talking spiritual more than anything. And so as a group of women, Stephanie, who isn't here today, Stephanie Mowry and I are co-leading our women's ministries. And she and I were praying about what to do. And the Lord really revealed we're going to do the book called Armor of God. We're going to do a book study. And there's two things about that. It's by Priscilla Shirer. So if you want to be involved in doing this as a group of women, get that book. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on any Christian bookstore. And we're going to be meeting as a group of women monthly. Once a month. It's the third Saturday of the month. I have to send that out later. I don't remember. But we're starting in February. So the month of January is all about getting the book. And the second thing we're going to do, which is what we started at retreat, was doing this together. We want you to find a person and walk with specifically one person weekly with this book. Because consistency is important, so is intimacy. You can't kind of get to those parts that need to be really dealt with if you're doing it on your own, right? I even thought about what you're talking about, Brad, about if you just stay away and you don't come to church, you're not giving the person who has the gift of speaking the opportunity to use their gift. You know, like preaching is, you can't, if that's a gift and there's nobody there to hear, it's a one-way conversation. That's not, you know, it's like we're in this together. So we wanted to do, Stephanie, I wanted to make sure every woman that has somebody in their mind for another person to do this with, talk to that person. If you want to be open to a random connecting, give us your name and we will pray over the list of women and how the Lord can puts two people together. We did it at retreat. It was an amazing thing. That was all the Lord's doing. We had lists of names and we just pulled names and paired people up and it was beautiful. So that's what we're doing. We're doing the Armor of God, and that's once a month we'll meet together as a group of women, and every week we ask that you either meet with your partner or even just speak with them on the phone. Make sure you're connecting with that person about what's going on in your life that you're going to fight and walk through this life with, doing the armor of God and putting it on. So that's what I have. I know, that's what I have. And we love you.
It's been fun. I've been getting to get sneak peeks, and I like to do the YouTube version of the books if I can't help it. So I've been looking at Priscilla online, and I didn't know. How many of you guys have seen the movie War Room? Anybody? So, yeah, that's the lady that they're going to be, that wrote this book that we're going to be going through. And so there'll be fun stuff with that. I guess there's going to be maybe some viewing of the movie and reading and praying. And again, it's a lot of, I want to really be clear on this. There's education involved in this. There's study, but it's not passive. It's equipping, right? It's equipping. It's not, you know, come and get fed. It's like, how can I get the tools I need to go out and do these things? One of the fun things that I've gotten the opportunity to do, and I'll be gone next week, is I'm going to get to go to Tennessee and go to a preaching coaching type thing. I'm going to learn how to preach better, hopefully. That's the goal. That's what they say on the pamphlet. And it's these opportunities, you know, and I find that I'm reading books on this. You know, I had a class with Jerry Camryhoggett, and I'm like, I pick up the book, and all of a sudden I'm reading the book, and it's, I don't remember reading this book. I did it when I was in school, but it's different when you're actually doing it and actually applying it. So I really encourage you to think in these terms that you're not just, these aren't just like up here kind of ideas, abstract ideas. These are actual tools so that we can build the house, so we can build our Lord's table. Another thing that we're going to be doing along with those things is we're going to be starting an adult Sunday school. So with that, I'm going to invite Marquita up, and she's going to share a little bit about that. And,
Happy New Year, family. Oh, my gosh, I miss you guys so much. It is so good to be back in God's house and among God's people. As Pastor Brad just said, well, let me ask a question first. How many of you started your day with a nutritious breakfast? Yeah, I had donuts and coffee. Okay. But as a kid growing up, speaking of adulting, one of the things that is hammered into you, one of the things that is hammered into us as parents raising you, is the need for good nutrition. Your body cannot develop properly. You cannot develop properly as a person if you are not eating well. And we've all been known to cut the corners because sometimes it's easier to go to the drive-thru. But we also know that we can't do that as a way of life because you will pay the price for that somewhere along the line. I believe this is equally true in the spirit realm. Comes a point where you just can't cut corners on what you are taking into your spirit man. Each and every last one of us is in need of good spiritual nutrition. And we've been very blessed as a church to have good solid teaching and good solid preaching, and the Lord has been really good to us in that respect. But now we want to be just a little more intentional and consistent. And so as Pastor said, Sunday school is not just for the kids anymore. We are going to be establishing an adult Sunday school where there is a weekly, consistent Let's all sit down together and dig into the Word of God. You don't need to take a night off during a very busy week. The plan is for us to come here just a little bit earlier on Sunday morning and get in that room and let's just hash some things out. Get to ask the questions you may not get to ask during a Sunday morning service. And so I believe our inaugural class will begin next month.
First week in
February, yes. That is absolutely right. And can I go ahead and talk a little bit about what we're planning? Well, as an inaugural event, we have planned to study the name of our church. And so we're going to begin with a study in faith. And follow that with a study in worship, and follow that with a study in community. I think that'll get us off to a good start. So, Lord willing, in the next couple of weeks, maybe probably as soon as next week, I want to set up a sign-up sheet so that we can get an idea of who's wanting to be there, how many chairs to put out, you know, how many handouts to create, that kind of thing. And so my hope is that every last one of us will take advantage of this opportunity. Again, it's not just for kids anymore. I miss adult Sunday school. I don't know about you. Just to sit down together as a community of faith as we prepare to work and to receive what the Lord has for us through his word. Scripture says faith comes by hearing. Right? And hearing by, that's our goal. Thank you, Pastor.
So one more thing we're going to announce today as far as starting in February is that's going to be our couples ministry. And we're going to meet. We're going to get together and find out what the needs are. And we might meet as often as once a month. May turn out we might do an initial meeting and make decisions based on that. But that first meeting is going to be February 18th. So if you'll circle your calendar for that, and if you're a couple, we invite you to come. And again, come to contribute. We've got all kinds of range of people that have been married for a while to not married very long at all. And we need each other. We need to hear some of the struggles. It's real easy in all of, you know, one of the big things about having a community of faith is it's easy to get siloed. I'm the only one that goes through this problem. I'm the only one that gets beat up this way. Well, that's true in marriages too. You think, man, I can't figure out how to do this thing. And we have these fights and we have these different dealios that we don't know how to negotiate. And then all of a sudden I share it and we had that fight last week or we dealt with that this way. Or, you know, when you have people that have been around and married, what are you guys, 25 years or something like that? How long have you guys been married? Not 25. How long have you guys been married? Yes. 17 and a half. Oh, I jumped up a little bit. So 17 and a half, you guys have been married. How long? 38. Tim and Robin have been married for 25, right? Something like that. How long have you guys been married?
30.
30, right? So these are people that have been around. We've only been married for 15 years, and some people are less than that, right? So there's this whole range of opportunity. How long are you guys? You guys just did your 25th. 25th. So there's this whole range of opportunity to connect in that way. So that said, one of the things that we've noticed, and Professor Marquita and I were talking about this, is she's going to be doing, I'm going to out you just a little bit here, but she's going to be really exploring what it means to be single in a community. And so she's, you know, we're working on what that looks like, and it might be part of the Adult Sunday School, we're not sure. But one of the cool things, we were sitting down and we were looking at this, and she was sharing that the population at large, I think I've shared this before, but I'll say it again, the population at large is about 40% single, 48, and that's if you're 18 to 90-something or more, right? So 48% of the population is single, and our churches in America, across America, 5% of them go to church. 5%. Right? If that. And so we were talking about it, and we started thinking it through, and there's obviously a missing thing from the church at large, but we started noticing how many folks in our current fellowship is in that category. And we actually hit closer to that 40%. Which is kind of cool in a way. I mean, I think that it's cool that we reflect the outside culture. So we want to make sure to have that. We want to make sure to be able to integrate not just being married, but also being single. And then how do we do all of that together somehow and learn from each other and balance and so forth and so on. So We're going to start with the marriage thing on the 18th, and we're going to address some of those things. And soon to come, we're going to talk about what it means to be single. And when we talk about single, it's not that you can't get married or whatever, but maybe you're just not looking. Maybe you just don't want to be, or you know, whatever the case is, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, because you know, like we were joking again, we were talking about it being the preferred ministry, right? That's what Apostle Paul said. I prefer to be single. Like there's some advantages to that, and if you're married, you know what I'm talking about. But it's also good. I mean, both has been created by God. That's the thing. There's not one better than the other. It's just that we're all kind of working it through. So the 18th. Another thing that's going to be coming up in February, of course, is Ash Wednesday. We'll be meeting for the 14th. That happens to correspond with a really cool day, Valentine's Day, so we can come express our love for Jesus and get ash on our head and celebrate the fact that he died for us and begin the process of Lent. And we'll kind of go into that more detail later, but we invite you at least to come and participate in Ash Wednesday. So any thoughts or questions, just really briefly, if anything that just you want to say or you're thinking about, or as we've kind of like laying all of this out, is there any thoughts that anybody has or any questions that anybody has? Yes, ma'am.
Since you outed me.
Yes. Good. And it's cool to kind of hear it like this, because another thing that I want to say is that we are all, again, we've said it, we're all in this together, but we're all kind of making it up together as well. I get that there's some role distinctions and there's some different things that are specifically we're rolling out for this new season, but the point is you might have something, God's been talking to you about something, right? He's been telling you, and for whatever reason you've waited. And I want to tell you right now that the time doesn't pass. It's not, you know, it says in Hebrews that today is the day. Today is the day to experience that full life, to express that full life, to engage the fullness of what Christ has called you to. So this is the opportunity to say, what is it that I want to participate in? How do I, where do I put my hand to the plow? Or where is it that I express the thing that God has wanted me to be doing? And I encourage you to get in conversation. At least start talking about it. Declare, this is what I want to do. This is what I think he's calling me to. I don't have any idea what I'm going to, you know, how it's going to happen. But can we at least pray about it? Can we at least start talking about it? And let's see if we can't make it happen. Okay? So I just want to make sure that we're clear that these are some things we're doing. But you might have a full different thing that you feel called to, or ministry, or whatever you're doing. I know there's some of you guys are on campuses and you don't get a chance to make it to church or whatever. So we want to know how to pray. We want to be a part of that. We don't want it to be, you know, like, okay, I don't know where this other person's been. So how do we do that? How do we reach out to one another? And it might be you saying, hey, no one's called me. You know, like you calling me to call you or whatever. It's just that kind of thing. Just, you know, feel. I was talking to somebody about, you know, like this is your kitchen. You get to come in and open the and get your own groceries out of the deal. You don't have to ask for permission, you know. But if you don't know where something is, by all means, you know, you might have to ask where are the spoons or whatever. Does that make any sense? So the theme, of course, is what?
Until we
come to that fullness of maturity in Christ. The biggest thing that I want to underscore is that we're not just building a church. We're not just building an institution. We're building a church. We're building something that we believe that God has called us to do. We're supposed to be caretakers. We're supposed to be people who see something different in this kind of community. And so as we're building, or as you're praying, or as you're thinking, I want you to really remember that there is a person on the other side of this thing. That this isn't just some great, wonderful Tower of Babel that we're putting together. This is something that we are doing because we feel called to. And I really encourage you to speak up on both sides of that. You know, if you have checks in your heart, if you have things that you say, don't say, oh, well, I shouldn't be at this church because I have a check in my heart. No, engage the conversation. Maybe we're missing something, and you're the one that's, you know, you're the one that sees the spike on the ground, right? Or maybe you're the one that sees the glaring, you know, hole in the process that needs to be revealed, or whatever that case is. But don't just walk away going like, I don't fit. Talk about it, or at least think about it, or at least pray about it with somebody, and see if there's something we can't do together to bring us all together until we all. All right, let's pray. God, we do have plans and we have desires. I know for me, I don't want to feel like I'm spinning my wheels. But I also don't want to manufacture purpose. I don't want to manufacture things to make me feel better, and I certainly don't want us as a community to do that. We want to fully rely on you. We want to fully be led by you. And we also know that we have to step out and push and make declarations and go places sometimes to find out where you're gonna grow us up and meet us. And so we put all of this stuff in that kind of way and say, we're going to step out and we're going to make a declaration. We're going to establish something here in this community for your kingdom and for your glory. To this we commit ourselves in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you stand, please. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May you know his presence. May you know the call of his voice in your heart. May you know him as your father and your provider. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in grace.